bow our heads in prayer. Now, dear Lord Jesus, again we come unto you by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, drawing nigh to thy very presence, knowing the strength and power of it to enter into the very holy place, the holiest of all. This is absolutely staggering to our minds and hearts, and yet we know it is so. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus, this very afternoon. And we pray now that since this is true and the Holy Spirit has become our portion, as the down payment, the guarantee for the immortality in the resurrection by redemption of our bodies, we just pray now that he will lead us and guide us into all truth and show us that which is really right and true. And we may not stagger at it, but absolutely come to that realization where our faith will be rapturing faith. Because we have confidence in you, Lord, in what you've done. No confidence in ourselves, but all in thee. Therefore, glorifying thee, even as Abraham did, who believed you, and was counted unto him for righteousness. And we just stand that way today. We just commit ourselves there in your hands, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to read the 9th chapter of Hebrews, if you care to stand with me. It's nice to just remain standing for a while. You might be seated for a while. Now, when I start the message, might go a little while. Beginning at the 19th verse. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the New Testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself, not appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them to look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin to salvation. And just one verse quoting it from Matthew 5:48, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this message will attempt to show that the resurrection of Jesus proves that there is perfect deliverance from spiritual death, which, of course, is separation from God, by Jesus' sacrificial death, wherein his blood was shed. And the Bible distinctly sets forth such a perfection. You'll recall, I believe, that in the first seal, Brother Branham commented on Matthew 5:48, and where the Scripture says, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And he said, How could we start the thought of being perfect? And, of course, that's a good question. How could we even suggest that there would be a perfection, and such a perfection of the magnitude, that we would be as perfect as God? This in itself would be ridiculous that anybody should even think of it. Because knowing man as man is, the best is none too good. There's something wrong with everybody. Even the most perfect would miss the perfection of Almighty God. So Brother Branham brings it out very beautifully. How could we start the thought of being perfect? But notice, but Jesus required it. And if Jesus required it, he has got to make a way for it. Now, this is a good comment. Because, you see, it is required. It's something that's very, very necessary. It has to be. Now, if it's required, and it cannot possibly be produced by man singly, or altogether, then it has to come from somewhere. Now, the point is, where is it going to come from? Well, it's going to have to come from the one who required it, because he will be the only one who can provide it. And so Brother Branham says, if Jesus required it, he has got to make a way for it, and he has his own blood. Now, that the prophet's statement is absolutely correct is seen in Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And you notice that I read to you that Jesus was the sacrifice. So by the one offering of Jesus, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Thus we see there is a perfection imputed to every believing sinner because of the blood. We must make no mistake about it. It is the blood that perfects the sinner. The resurrection guarantees that perfection. As you'll notice in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verse 15. And you'll notice how the resurrection guarantees it. I'll just read you. For by one offering, yet perfect ever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. Now, Jesus was proving his own resurrection by sending the Holy Spirit back. So, therefore, coming under the sanctifying blood, we know that the perfection has been granted to us by being baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost himself evidences, or gives us the evidence, that we have been sealed in to the very perfection that lies in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another place Brother Branham said, it is the blood that perfects the bride. Whatever other perfections are hers, and I realize she has many, this is where she starts. She must start here or she has nothing. Notice also in Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Now it says here there was no law that could make anything perfect, none whatever. But there was a better hope, which was able to make us perfect. And the scripture says this better hope is that which causes us to draw nigh unto Almighty God. But what is the better hope that makes us perfect, giving us the ability to not only approach unto God, but that God would be satisfied with our presence, that we might ever abide with him? Well, it tells us here in Hebrews 10:19-22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You can see right here that there is something which does give us the right to come nigh unto God, to actually enter the very holiest of holies, and that is the better hope, which is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the blood of bulls and goats, in fact, there was no way that sins could be so dealt with that a man would be able to come to God and abide in his presence outside the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. From these verses, you can begin to see how precious is the doctrine of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, or the doctrine of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know perfectly what was accomplished by that shed blood, because the scripture tells us. And we must never forget that the resurrection of Jesus proves it to us. Now, I'll show you this from the very reading which I brought to your attention in this 9th chapter and verses 19-28. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of bull, of calves and goats, with water, and scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law shed, purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness of sins. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Now notice carefully here, these verses right in this area are dealing specifically with the law and ordinances wherein God stayed his wrath and allowed the people favor in his sight on the grounds of bringing the shed blood which they themselves brought and presented, their own doing that God allowed them, which was the blood of goats and of heifers and such as that. Now, we'll just go a little further in our reading. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of truth, but into heaven itself. Now notice the key changes. The key changes here from this man Paul bringing out the fact that all of these types and shadows here that God allowed for a temporary, not cleansing, but a temporary atonement wherein they could stand before him. But now notice, it shifts to the heavens itself, which is his resurrection. because it says Christ is not entered into the holy place, which is made with hands, an earthly tabernacle, but now he has gone into the heavens themselves, there to appear in the presence of God for us. You follow me? This now is his resurrection, proving what was done by him here on earth. The accomplishments. See? And you'll notice that it's not something that anybody did but Jesus. You do not present the blood. No, sir. I do not present the blood. Nobody presents the blood, but Jesus himself presents the blood. So you can see the shedding and the presentation has nothing to do with this, except by sheer solid grace to receive it. And see, I'll let that stand for me. See? Now, let's go further. He appears in the presence of God for us. Now, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared on earth here to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself on this earth. And as the point of the men wants to die, but after the judgment, see, Jesus died. So Christ died. He was once offered to bear the sins of the many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And it shows you here that he that's under the blood that Jesus himself presented of you, he himself is coming for us. You see the picture of grace and redemption through what Jesus Christ has done. Now, his death and the shedding of his blood was for our sins. And Jesus here then is now the mediator and the intercessor, or the inheritance giver and the executor, according to what he did for us. Or I can say in plain another way of putting it, I can say that Jesus is the mediator and the intercessor. He is the high priest for his own blood, and he's entered in the heavens. Now the scripture tells us that the heavens themselves were polluted. It says that right here. Now it says, you can take the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and so on, and you can come into an earthly tabernacle that was based on the very true in heaven. In other words, as God said to Moses, see thou make all things according to the pattern that I showed thee in the mount. So therefore, there is an actual physical tabernacle in heaven. And there is. No doubt about it. Now, you could come down here, and you could take the blood of bulls and goats, and you could then go into this tabernacle, and you could sanctify by that blood. But listen, let me show you something here. It is now the blood of Jesus that was taken to heaven, and heaven itself is purified. Then if God is satisfied that the very heavens which were defiled are now purified by the blood, how much more you and me then? See? Now this is not some little story I made up. It's right here in the Bible. The very heavens are purified by the blood. What kind of a sacrifice would God demand for himself where he is? Then, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us.
Amen.
See? What he has done for us is absolutely fantastic. Now, this is perfectly what Peter showed them in Acts 3:26 concerning the death and resurrection. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from his sin. Now, there's a Y in the road. You're going down the road and there's a fork. Call it a Y, call it a fork. Now, you can take a path. If you take the path of the blood, you leave your sins at that fork in the road. And you get turned right on to the highway of righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ, where you're made perfect through the blood of the Lamb. See, there's your perfection. Now, the manifold proof of his resurrection in A.D. 33 and a half was in itself the proof of the perfection of the blood redemption. It was the proof of it. And now, in 1946 and through 1976, and as far as God carries, his resurrection proven amongst us. And remember, you don't have to keep proving a thing once it's proven. Yes, sir. Four digits. 1, 2, 3, 4. All's made four. 2 and 2 digits make four. 1 and 3 digits make four. And when a thing is proven, that's it. We have the proof of his resurrection, which is the proof of his acceptation for a perfect redemption. And the bride stands perfected by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to this perfection and the remission of sin. See, now, he testified back in Peter's day, And now he testifies in this day to the Gentiles that only through the blood is there perfection before Almighty God. Now, since this is so, we ought to know something about the perfections that are by his blood. So we're going to notice the power of the blood to clear us from all sin. And you'll notice in here, in Hebrews 9:22, it says that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, I see that's a negative statement. I'll read it again. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Put it in the positive. With the shedding of blood, there is forgiveness. I'm afraid too many people take the negative. And that says, well, the blood was shed, but there is no buts at all. With the shedding of blood, there is forgiveness. The blood has been shed, therefore there is forgiveness. Absolutely, that's how God puts it. Now, you'll see that God forgives our sins because Jesus died upon Calvary. This, of course, is over here in the book of John, the 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to judge the world and condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. Here is the one thing, or the one act, that stands between God and the sinner, so that the sinner can come to God on Mount Zion. It is the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. Let's read John 3:14-15. And Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And remember, Jesus was that Word incarnate. So now he has got to be absolutely in his life and death that incarnate Word. And he is. And the Son of Man has been lifted up. And you notice the Son of Man was revealed. He was lifted up. See? Now, let's go with this to Hebrews 12. And we're going to see the very same thing I showed you this morning. See, the Scripture, as Brother Branham said, once you see this message in the Word, that's all you will see. So therefore, if I know I'm hitting the truth, the truth is going to be borne witness every place I search it. Now, Hebrews 12:22-24. But you are come unto Mount Zion, even unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, even to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, even the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator. There you are, the executor of the new covenant. See? To the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than Abel. And it tells you right here that you go all the way from your sinful condition to the new Jerusalem by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is proof that you're one of them. See? Now, you see how the Word dovetails. Now you notice how Paul put it in Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are purged with blood. Of course, this refers specifically to verse 23, which is the temporal things on earth that had to be cleansed by the blood. Yet, the thought is expressed in such a way that there is also suggested something in the human line, the human sin line, that the blood fails to cover. And there is something, just one thing in the Bible concerning sin that the blood does not cover or avail. It's found over here in the book of Matthew chapter 12. Now let's look at it. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, except the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. It shall not be forgiven unto men. No blood covers it. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him. No problem. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor the world to come. Now remember, Jesus was casting out devils. He was making the blind to see. And when the blind was, in the one that it says here, the blind saw and the devils were cast out, the dumb were speaking and the deaf hearing and all that, the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David? Isn't this that one? And the Pharisee said, no, sir, this is not that one. He's the other one, which would make him a devil. And he turned around and said, all right. He said, you're going to get away with it now. That's all right. Because you see, he hadn't died yet. Now you can go ahead because I'm the Son of Man. But he said, there's a day coming. When you call the Holy Ghost the devil, he said, there is no forgiveness, there is no blood to cover it.
And that's absolutely right, because God himself was in human flesh pouring out his life. Follow that, Abel? His brother Branham said, and remember, the ministry of Christ in the resurrection proved that he was that one. And now William Branham comes many, many years later on the scene, 1950 on, when he began using the discernment as he did. And here he stands with that great ministry, and standing before the people. He said, let me tell you something. He said, no man can say. He has gone behind that veil to the Holy of Holies and comes out calling Jesus a fortune teller. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, because they made him a devil. There is only one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that is absolutely that one which is unforgivable, and there is not one other. Now remember, the bride cannot commit it. No, sir. 1 John, the 5th chapter. 16, 17, and then 18 and 20. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. And Brother Branham, when they asked him, he said, what is that sin? He said, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And I do not say that you should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now listen, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He'll never make it. He'll never do that sin. But he that is born of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one touches him not. He can't be deceived. See, he cannot be brought in that position. And we know that we are of God. Why? Because John had already said, he that heareth us is of God, and he that does not hear us is not of God. In other words, when you believe what that vindicated prophet said, you prove that you're absolutely of God, and you will never come into condemnation. You will never commit the unforgivable sin. It is absolutely impossible. We know that we're of God, and the whole world lathering us. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding. And the Son of God, which is the Holy Ghost, has come, and given us an understanding. How can you be in truth, and make the Holy Ghost a devil? How can you be given to lead you into truth, then lead you to hell? And people full of the Holy Ghost, so-called, talking with tongues, jumping up and down, and screaming, like a fellow did in Florida, and Brother Branham came down there. The fellow was from Cleveland, I forget his name, but I tell you flat what his name was. I'm not embarrassed to do it. He said it. And he said, I'll expose that fellow with a familiar spirit. Oh, I know some of you aren't shocked, but I get shocked. I wonder, what in the name of common sense? That man's supposed to be a preacher? The Holy Ghost manifesting in the last age. God literally with a skin on it. Brother Branham said, because there lies the word, there is the word. This man said, he's a God of Mary Spirit. You know what that is? That's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, my brother and my sister. And it's about time you knew it if you didn't. Oh, there's no time to be gentle and sweet right now. Then everybody's going to go to heaven. And the Bible's a lie. It said, you call that one the devil. Don't bother praying. Don't bother praying. I'll say, if you can bother praying in the face of God's word, then Moses made a great mistake going down to Pharaoh and says he's going to get judged. He should have said, let Israel all get together and pray, O Pharaoh, in the kingdom. Look, brother, sister, it's time to quit fooling with God's word and wake up what true doctrine is. Not a bunch of nonsense. And that's the only sin. No other sin. People say, what about this? What about that? Well, what about it? One. Say, oh no, two makes one. Oh, three makes one. Four. Oh, come on. One. One. No other sin. The bride won't make it. See? Why? Because she's led in the truth. We know him that's true. And we are in him that is true. If he's in you and you in him, you think you can't identify him? That's as bad as a fellow going down the road. He sees a four-legged bunch of cows. He said, not a nice bunch of people. He sees more dogs. He said, not a bunch of nice people. He sees some pears. Aren't they nice people? You said, the guy's crazy. You're right, he's crazy. You're right. You're right. No joke, he's crazy. They're not people. You mean I can't tell your people? Huh? Sure, your people. I'm a priest of dogs, cats, and parrots. We'll waste my time. It's just that simple. How are you going to be in him and he in you?
in not being the truth. How can you add a dog cell to a cat cell when it's a body of truth? Word upon word piled up. The genes have got to be the same.
God, the church is like some jokes I know. The hootenannies are crossed between an owl and a goat. Might as well laugh in your door, it's true. Break down, relax. Look, we're not a bunch of fools. Well, we're not something foolish and ridiculous any longer. When you identify with the truth, pardon my sarcasm, Christ was sarcastic, Job was sarcastic, Paul was sarcastic. I'm the worst of the works. No other catalog sin. Not one other. See? Now, we're not going to look into all those sins. We don't have to. We just know there's one. Unforgivable sin and blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And we can't do it. Now, that we ought to apply this to that revelation is plainly stated in the seals, page number 129, where Brother Branham says, he that is born of God does not sin, for he cannot sin. Now, let's let Brother Branham explain how you can't sin. He says the same thing Peter says at the fork of the road. Now, watch. How can you make a man a sinner when the breach of the blood of Jesus is between him and God? Amen. That would scatter his sin. Could there be nothing left? How can that pure blood of Christ ever let sin pass there? He cannot. Well, there's your answer. That's why it says over here in John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. And he said there is a sin that's not unto death. You can be forgiven. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children around you, that you sin not. And if any man do sin, we have an advocate. Christ advocate over his own blood. The blood that speaketh better things, which is perfection. I know we're afraid to let go and believe God for perfection, but the prophet didn't. Reading the same manner, my brother, I said to her, I want to repeat, the manner that Moses brought down as the command of God on God's promise was the same manner he ate. Did the people eat? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now listen, it says here, he we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. In other words, as we came in, and he stands for us, he'll stand for anybody else who wants to come in. See, the beautiful perfection that lies here, see? Now, I want to give you a little story. Remember how Brother Branham was in Toledo that time, Ohio. And there, after a certain meeting, he went to a little restaurant early in the morning to get himself a little bite to eat or something because he'd had a poor night. And there, as he looked around, he saw this woman, and I think her stockings were kind of hanging down, and maybe her flesh wasn't looked like stockings. You know, people can look pretty horrible. She had this slousy old, sleazy old coat on, and she looked pretty sleazy, and she had two or three boyfriends are burping around her, you know, and because they were stewed worse than she was. And he said, oh, God, just the same as Luther said. Oh, God, why don't you just destroy it all? The sin's so great. Oh, Luther back there said, he said, I don't know how God does it. He said, when I look at sin and see how great it is, how terrible, he said, if I were God, I'd smash it into pieces right now. And Brother Branham said the very same thing. See, he looked at her in his sleazy condition. And then a vision spun and he saw the world going round and round. And he saw the circle of blood going round the earth. And God said, yes, and if I took care of her the way you want it, you'd be taking care of too the way you don't want it. He said, girl, you're under that blood. And the only reason I'm not destroying the world is because of the circle of blood that's shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to repent and go over to her. He went to her table. And he said, ma'am, he said, do you mind if I sit down here? And she said, yeah, I have already companions. He said, ma'am, I didn't mean it that way. But he said, as I looked at you and those men, he said, something struck my heart. I'm a minister, and he said, it was wrong. I was judging you and those men. And God showed me that circle of blood and how I'd be taken off the scene, too, if he took anybody else off. If that blood ever failed, we'd all go. And she said, sir, are you Brother Branham? He said, yes, I'm Brother Branham. She began to cry. She said, I once was a Christian. She said, I didn't mean to go this way, but look where I am. And as he talked to her, the men came back, and pretty soon all were leaning at the floor, and the policemen took their hats off and watched. You listen, Brother Sidgett, that's the most fantastic thing. But you see the picture right there. It's just what Brother Branham said. And he said, how can you make a man a sinner when the breach of the blood of Jesus Christ is between him and God? And doesn't say that he hasn't sinned. Doesn't say that he doesn't sin. But how can you convict a man if there's no evidence? Amen.
In New York, there's a bunch of cops up there. They found and got a bunch of marijuana. They took the heroin. They took the dope. They took it all, and they took it away from the criminals, the pushers. And then the judge said, all right, we've got those fellas in jail. Now we're going to bring them into court. And so they brought the men to court, and they all lined up. And the judge said, now bring in the evidence. And those sleazy cops had stolen the evidence and sold it. And the judge said, case dismissed, no evidence. How are you going to convict me of the blood of Jesus Christ disperses my sin? How are you and I going to stand convicted when the blood of Jesus Christ destroys the evidence?
Amen.
See? I ain't going to do it. See? How are you going to be arraigned in court? The judge is going to kick it out. That's exactly what Brother Banner teaching here. That settles it. The sin question as far as God has been dealt with. There is no further dealing with it. There is no further dealing with it. So, Brother Bale, I'm going to be a good Christian, and now that'll do it. Well, God bless you. What are you going to do tomorrow? Look, I know we're like, we're no different. Except I got a little more hair than some of you. Got a whole lot more hair than I do. Right? Oh, yeah. No problem. But listen, we have a nice day today, and nobody bothered us too much, and everything went good. And we say, Lord, this wonderful day. I feel so good. I'm presenting myself. Oh, hallelujah. God says, shut up. I tell you what, we are sick now. Now, come on, look at ourselves. What do you got to present anyway? What about your bad days? Huh? I don't know if I've ever had a good day, to tell you the truth. Oh, we like to add to what God has done. Look, brother, sister, it is true that by the Holy Spirit we overcome and grow and overcome and go on and on, but that doesn't do it. You've got to be as perfect as God. You got to be as perfect as God. I said you got to be as perfect as God. What are you going to do about it? Are you God? You're not God. None of you are God. Altogether we're not God. Altogether we couldn't even lift an elephant. And how are you going to lift your sins? If you can't do a little thing, how are you going to do a big thing? The simplicity lies in simply believing what he said. And Paul preached it and said, if you believe in your heart what I have preached and confess it, you've got it. But men want something else. You can't, listen, brother, sister, we can't do it that way. Now remember, I'm preaching on the blood per se. The perfection that lies in it. Other subjects will treat different. But we're talking strictly about the blood. There is no further dealing with sin. The Bible says so. Once at the end of the world, once and for all, he was sacrificed, and there isn't any more. And God help the man that wants another sacrifice. Because the blood will never avail for you if you want another sacrifice. There is no blood for you the minute that you turn down what he's done. That's right. That's why it's Christ who perished. Now, I said there's no further dealing with sin. Why? Because there is no need. For the work of Christ was perfect. And can one add or take from a perfect thing and it still be perfect? Huh? That's like the fellow said, you know, my little baby, he's more than perfect. You know, that kid's got six fingers. You know, little Jimmy, that extra long little finger, he can pick up little needles and things that you and I can't do. Oh, you'd be surprised, that kid. He's something. He sure is. He's not perfect. Huh? Oh, said a fella. Oh, look, my little boy, he's only got four digits on his hand. But you know, he can do everything and more because he trained himself than the guy with five. Oh, he's perfect. He is not. He's imperfect. How are you going to add one thing or take one thing? Can't do it. See, it's got to stand inviolate and by itself. See? It's got to stand alone. Now, it's perfect. The sacrifice was perfect. Absolutely sufficient because it says God was pleased to take him in death as that sacrifice. God was pleased with that blood. Then if God is pleased with that blood, then that blood must accomplish every single thing that God demands for perfection. That's what Brother Branham said. Jesus demanded it. He has got to make a way for it, and he has his own blood. See? Now, let's look at 1 Peter to get a picture, 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, and but quickened by the Spirit. Now it tells you exactly how you get back to God, because redemption means to go back where you were. It means to buy back once what you once had. So every lost son is going to be brought back to God. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way. Okay, Hebrews 9 and 26. For then once must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Sin has been put away. Where's it been put away? We'll find out shortly just where it went. Okay, Hebrews 10. We read this before, looking at it in this way. 26 to 29. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of what truth? His sacrifice. The perfection. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, once you really see the truth of that sacrifice, understand what God wanted, it's over. See? It's all over. Now, it says, if you sin willfully after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there may be no more sacrifice of sin. What is it? You're turning it down. Turn down the sacrifice. Where are you going to go? You see, where are you going to go concerning sin? You say, well, the thing is, Brother Dale, I know that God Almighty saved me 30 years ago. I know the sins were all washed away. But you see, since then, I haven't been the kind of person I should be. Neither will you be till the resurrection, my brother, my sister. Neither will you be till the resurrection. There never was and never will be one perfect man outside of Jesus Christ. I said, there never has been, never will be. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but that's exactly right. He's the only one with the record that stands. And we'll talk about that shortly. Now it says, if we sin willfully, after we see the knowledge of the truth of sacrifice, there isn't any more. All you can look for is fiery indignation, see? Because you're changing the word of God. See? He that despised Moses' law died by mercy and through the witnesses. Among a sore punishment, shall you be thought, he be thought, shall, suppose you should be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant worthy, sanctified, and holy thing, and does death the Spirit of grace. See, how in the world is anybody going to get around the sin question outside of his once for all shed blood? And remember, he is the high priest to it to see that it works. See? High priest to his own blood to see that it's effective. Remember, the mediator gets you in, and the intercessor keeps you in. See? He saves you, let him with all that come unto God by him. See? Now, let us consider who wrought our redemption. Now, we've talked about this redemption, how great it is. The perfection of the blood. It might settle our hearts and minds to know why, actually, it does the work it does. And, of course, the question then arises, who is this Redeemer anyway? Who is this one that shed his blood? What about his blood? That'll help us to understand and get our bearings exactly right. Okay, redemption was wrought by none other than the matchless and only begotten Son of God. And here are some scripture concerning him who is our redemption and his ministry that proved that he was such a great one. Okay, we go first of all to Matthew, the first chapter, 18 to 23. Now, watch. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought in these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not taking thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. In other words, the Holy Ghost was the actual Father of Jesus Christ. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which is Jehovah Savior, and he shall save his people from their sins. It doesn't say that he's going to make them perfectly sinless so they couldn't possibly sin, so they couldn't possibly ever be wrong. He said he's going to save them from their sins, as Peter said, turning them away. Where Brother Branham said, you can sin 1,000 times a day or backslide the same number of times. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet of the Lord, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, is God with us. He's telling you right here, there's going to be a temple of the Holy Ghost raised up, where God himself will dwell amongst men as a human being, and shed his own blood.
and presented to himself for the perfect satisfaction of sins. Now, let's go to John, the first chapter, the first verse. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same of the beginning with God. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it tells you right here that He is that very Word incarnated into a human body. All right, that's who He is. Let's keep looking at it. And His ministry. We go to the book, His life, see? We go to the book of Hebrews. The fourth chapter. And in there we see 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest, He's a high priest's own blood, that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in every time of need. Now, it says right here that Jesus Christ was absolutely tempted with every single sin the human race is tempted with. As Brother Branham said, He could have got married and had children. In other words, He had the same temptation of flesh that every human being has, male and female. There isn't one thing that He wasn't tempted with. In other words, He might not have wanted to do something that He was supposed to do. He could have been a person that had to fight sin. In fact, the Scripture distinctly says that He resisted sin unto blood, and He sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane as He fought against Himself to make sure the will of God would be carried out. This one, according to the Word of God, was absolutely perfectly sinless. He was such a sacrifice that God could accept because never was sin near Him. The Scripture said He was separate from sinners. He had a flesh on Him, brother, sister, but He did not have your flesh and my flesh full of sin. He never came by sex, and He lived an absolute, perfect, tremendous life. Okay, let's go over here and look a little further. We can take Hebrews 5, 5 to 10. So Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but He that said, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. Said another priest, Thou art a preacher after the order of Melchizedek. Listen, who in the days of His flesh, when He'd offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him, was able to save Him from death, and He was heard in that He feared. Though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. And it says right here that Jesus Christ went through every rigorous trial and every type of training, and He came out the only one absolutely perfect. You see? Okay, let's go to Philippians. I'm taking this rapidly, and there's many, many more verses which I'll just skip, because it brings the point across. Philippians, the second chapter, 5, that Brother Branham used. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained. In other words, here He was God inviolate. Above all sin, nobody could come near Him. And it says He did not maintain it, but He deliberately did something about it. What did He do? But made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. He threw away His reputation, and being became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now it tells you that this is God Himself in human form that died for the remission of sin. Now, let's put it this way. If God in human form isn't sufficient, then nobody is going to make it. There's your perfection. See? Right down the line. Now, never forget, the resurrection proves Him to be that perfect Lamb of God, for the sacrifice must be perfect, and God accept this perfection in our stead. Okay, the resurrection proves this out. Let's go back to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and see it. Okay, the 10th verse, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath made Him, put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. How? In the resurrection. The resurrection will prove that those seed are going to come out of the ground and they're going to be with Him forever. Why? Because their sins are absolutely forgiven. And remember, listen now carefully, it says that God had to raise Jesus because He couldn't be held by death because there was no sin there. And what about you and me? No sin there, we got to be raised. Brother, sister, salvation is of God, and it's got to be taken out of our hands entirely and only believed. Because it's by faith, through grace, and grace is the shed blood, because it answers every question that has to be answered concerning sin. And now with the way clean, God can say, come in, thou blessed.
You see? He'll see his seed, prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. And that's the book of Ephesians, absolutely chapter 1, see? You cannot deny it. Acts the 3rd chapter 26, I read to you before. God turning away every one of them from their iniquity. Going back to Acts the 2nd chapter. Here, in verses 22 to 24, it says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That's exactly what God wanted done. The approved Lamb of God must be sacrificed, see? Amen. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible it should hold him. You see, he hadn't done anything. He's perfect. He died for you and me, and now his shed blood gives us the very perfection before Almighty God. Now, we can start thinking again of the blood redemption itself. You can see the sacrifice. You can see who he is. You can see all about it and say, that I'll understand it. I can take that. If anybody's going to stand in my stead, if anybody's going to get me off the hook, if anybody's going to get me back to God, if I'm going to be a redeemed son, I can see, yes, sir, I'll take that and nothing else in its entirety. I'll not take away. I'll not add to it. I'll stand on that. That is my redemption through the blood. Okay, let's just take a look at redemption through the blood. Notice what it accomplished for us concerning the sin question. Okay, Hebrews the 8th chapter. Then the 10th chapter also. Hebrews 8, and the 12th verse. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It says right here that God is going to be merciful, and he will not remember the sin and iniquity. The 10th of Hebrews, and verse 17, says the same thing. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. This is exactly what the psalmist said was going to happen. For it's in the 103rd Psalm, and verses 10 to 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now the Bible says that God is not going to deal with us according to our sins and our iniquities. Then he's going to have to deal with us in some other way. As far as the sin is concerned, he will not deal with it. But it's got to be dealt with. See? Now, for as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now listen, brother, sister, if I start going south, I'll eventually start going north. But when I start going east, I will never ever go west. And if I start going west, I will never go east. You just keep going round and round and round. That means the sins cannot catch up to us. There is no place where we will ever meet our sins. So therefore there can be no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. It is impossible. See, they're forgotten. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Again, and in verse 6, it says categorically, here, all we like sheep have gone astray. Yes, sir, I'll believe that. I'll take that. We have turned everyone to his own way. I know it because I've done it. What about the last part? And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of every single one of us. Then if they're laid on him, they're no longer laid on us. And the evidence has been destroyed. How can you make a man guilty? There's no evidence. There's got to be evidence in the court. There isn't any, see? Now, let us not fail to notice in this same thought that the Apostle Paul calls it redemption. Redemption means to buy back every single fallen son that fell in Adam. We go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And in verse 22, it says, for as in Adam all die, even in identical manner, in Christ shall all be made alive. It says, every single one, every elected son that fell in Adam, every elect child that was in there, see? Everyone is going to be brought back because every single one fell. We'll quickly take a few more. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and the 13th verse. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We have been redeemed. How? Through Jesus Christ hanging upon Calvary's rugged cross. Okay, Ephesians, the 1st chapter, and in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Seeing right there, we have been bought back. We who were bought of the devil, sold into sin by Adam, are absolutely now reversed through Jesus Christ the Lord. Colossians, the 1st chapter, and in verse 14, the same thing is mentioned once more.
in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. And over in Titus, the second chapter, and in verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. The word peculiar is a circle with a dot in it, showing that you're in him, zealous of those good works. Also, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 18, it says, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain behavior, received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times. It says right here that God had the antidote to sin and sickness and all spiritual diseases before there was ever a speck of stardust or one man on earth. In other words, before there was a problem, there was an answer. Before there was a sin, there was a redemption. Oh my, how are you going to get around that? See? You can't do it. There's no need to. All right, we go to Revelation, chapter 5, and in verse 9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people nation. Here I am, I build a house, and I've got the key. You think I'm going to hand the key to the neighbor over my house? I'm not going to give him the key. I'm going to take the key myself. And here is this one, Jesus. He's the Redeemer. Do you think he's going to open that book of redemption, let anybody else do it? No! He's going to do it himself. Yes, sir. That's why he did it at the end time, that book of redemption. And it says right here, you're worthy. It was your blood that did it. Open the book! Why, such nonsense to think somebody else would do it. The Roman Catholic Church, some Lutheran, some Presbyterian, some Methodist, some Pentecostal, some independent. Hogwash. You better read your Bible and get sanctified all over again. Better get a dip in the blood and get the Holy Ghost. Such nonsense. My church and your church will go to hell with you in it. Huh? I'm not telling you a lie. Let's get down to truth. Thou art worthy to open the book. Why? Because he did it. Huh? What nonsense, brother, sister. What nonsense you would have in their minds. Now Jesus did it, so we'll take over. Hallelujah. I saw that cruddy stuff back when I was in Pentecostal kids. The Nazarene church is big in our town. When people got saved in my church, they stole them. Well, they said they'd get nice to saved in your church, but we know how to take them through. Ha! Trust that bunch. You better not trust yourself or anybody else, brother, sister. He opens that book. That's the fountain over in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. That's the one who shed his blood and now mediates it. You think you're going to have somebody but him open that will and read the contents? You think somebody but him is going to disperse those contents? Why do you think he died? Why do you think he lives? Amen. Yes, sir, he died to purchase us back. And he lives to see he loses none. Raise him up at the last day. Yes, sir, brother, sister, that's not emotion, that's fact. Yes, sir, if you feel like running around, I'll excuse you. Yeah, now let's understand a little better what was found in the meaning of redemption. There are five premises of grace found in redemption, and one is almost identical to the other. It is to release by payment of a ransom. And the thought here is that it works. It's not just the price, but the fact that the price works. Many a man pays maybe $50,000 to have a loved one brought back. The loved one's dead. Didn't work. Right now in Ohio, in Dayton, a nice little fella named Emma was killed by three or four people. And they sent the note and said, give us $200,000. They gave those men $200,000 and they haven't got the money back. They found Emoff stuffed in the trunk and killed. They shot him needlessly. Now they paid the ransom, but he wasn't loose. The emphasis here is, although the blood is powerful, it's not the emphasis of blood, it's the emphasis of what the blood did. You're loose. Dead in Adam. Sold under sin. No, sir, not anymore. It works. See? You're separated from your sin. Secondly, it is to set free out of service or bondage. Sin will have no more dominion. Never can sin claim you. See? Not talking now as though you're perfect. Every single one of us has got a problem. As the prophet said, there is no perfection of this flesh, this side, the resurrection, and it's true. Huh? Would you like to have the white light of God shone in your heart this afternoon? How many times have you fibbed? I'm not much of a liar, I'll tell you flat.
But I'm scared of things at times.
You have too, no doubt.
Nice to be swallowed.
Nice to know. Yes, sir. Not one, not all together, would stand up and say, well, no, I'm of myself. I really lived that life. No, sir. We can say, sure, I'm not what I used to be. Say, thank God I'm not what I used to be. I know I'm not yet, you see, what I should be. But thank God I'm going to be there I am now. But that's fine. Growing in grace, see? But we got a picture here. And that picture is we're set free out of service of the devil now to serve the living God. We have been absolutely put through the clearinghouse and will no longer be under the thraldom of Satan. This part here in the spiritual has been given us. The body not yet. It's coming down the road. And thirdly, it's deliverance from guilt and punishment of sin. Deliverance from guilt and punishment of sin. Sin is makes us guilty, and sin demands a punishment. Something must be done. And it says, under these conditions, we will never be charged with guilt and will never be punished. Number three. Number four. This is like number two. Deliverance applied to the whole being of body, soul, and spirit. That means right now, as Paul said, don't just talk about Christ doing something for you now. He's going to get us out of the grave. The redemption that you have now is threefold. It is for your soul. It's for your spirit. It's for your body. In other words, I have been saved. I am being saved. I am yet to be saved. God guarantees it all. See? Because we have the blood of Jesus Christ upon the doorpost of our soul, we have been declared free. And our soul and our spirit are bound for the heavenly land, where we'll get a spiritual body up there, a theophonic body, Brother Branham called it. And then we're going to get a new one down here later on. Now, 50. It is specifically redemption from guilt and punishment by expiation. The number two was, number three was deliverance from guilt and punishment of sin. But notice now, it says deliverance, redemption from guilt and punishment by expiation. In other words, somebody atones for it. Somebody pays the price. And listen, you cannot have double jeopardy. The Canadians know that because it's a British law and it's a Bible law. You cannot have double jeopardy. If Jesus Christ died, then I'm free. I cannot die what he died for. See, he paid the price. That's the love of Almighty God. So five great merits in redemption. Oh, how full and how free is the sacrifice of Christ. The full merits of Christ and total loosing from sin and the consequences of sin are made available through his death. Never forget what Peter said. The resurrection of Jesus proving to Israel in Acts 3:26. God raised his son first, manifested it. Proved his resurrection, which in turn proved that the death of Jesus Christ turns you from your sin and turns your sin from you. You leave it in the fork of the road. Sin can never enter there, but God promised that I can enter there. And I'm going to get there without sin. Oh yeah, there's no sin up there. Oh, there's no whoremongers, there's no barbarians, there's no this one, there's no that one, murder and so on, a liar and all. They're not there. How? Because the blood of Jesus Christ. See what I taught you this morning, brother, sister, is absolutely word by word the Bible. And I don't have to take one verse of scripture to try to prove a point and slant the word of God. I did not slant the word of God at any time in these messages. They just came to me by God. I say they're by God. You don't have to believe it. I got to believe it, though, because I got faith that I'm one of his. All right. Romans. Well, that's what we're going to see here. We must never forget that all creation is restored with mankind. Look over here in Romans. The 8th chapter, verse 20. I'm preaching awful hard and fast because I want to get finished. You guys want to get home. You people want to get home, see? So, I get you there before 3 o'clock in the morning. Romans 8:20, listen. For our creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. And the Bible says right here, verse 23, and not only creation, but ourselves also, which have the fruit of the Spirit. We're full of the Holy Ghost. See? Proving we went to death with him and rose with him. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Hating the flesh. Oh! Look, and I groan day and night. I even get mad and fly apart. I even get mad at everybody else sinning. Then I get like Luther. Let's pull the pin. Fed up with the whole stinking mess. Not life itself. Oh, if God could sanctify this life in a resurrection millennium, I'd live for a billion years and be happy. But under these conditions, forget it. I'm going to tell you flat. If I had to have these conditions here, I'd say, God annihilate me. Forget Just give me enough grace to get an alley. But you know what? If you had this life under the right conditions, the old devil bound, and this body was not heir to sin and sickness and all those things, man, he's just 50 billion years before too short. See? I mean the same. We love each other and happy. Fellowship under the blood. Everybody with the same grace. The thumb not saying, get out of the way, finger. I would be the same.
I'm happy there with all my heart. It's going to be a place where there's going to be beautiful friendship and kindness. And everything is going to be exactly right. The devil won't be around, and we won't be in human bodies. We'll be humans. We're eating and drinking and building and sowing and reaping. Now, you folks that are lazy, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to make it or not. Oh, you'll make it, but the thing is, you'll like to work. That's right. You're pruning the vines, eating the fruit, doing the... It's going to be... You know something? The word Zoe in the Greek, though, Brother Branham was right. He was still wrong in this respect. He said the word Zoe meant eternal life. Yeah, actually, the root word Zoe does not mean eternal life. It means ordinary life that you and I are living. But you see, that's the very life we're talking about. That is the eternal life. That is the eternal life. It won't be... Now, if you're George Brown, you won't come back as Bill Smith. You're going to come back you. You're going to be the same person. Now, I know all the ladies would like to think they're going to have beautiful curly locks and all these lovely things that folks have as ladies, but you know what? You may just have the same funny features like us men. I don't expect to be changed because I have my hair back and my teeth back. And I don't know if I have the same crook in my nose as a baseball if you hit it. Other than that, I have the same old nose. And I told you how I looked in the three-way mirror. I looked in the three-way mirror under the sock. Never got old, about 20 years later. Just. So how could a man be so ugly? So what? How I think I'm pretty. Well, love does it. What's all this nonsense? If people have to the future, look, you and I, still, we're going to be there. We're going to be the same people. You don't need somebody else. We'll have a new body. But it's going to be there. You're going to be there in the condition that the blood bought for you. You see? All that's going to be beautiful. The animals will be there, I'm sure. Because it says so. And I believe there'll be resurrection. Now, if you're not, that's fine by me. But to me, I see reconciliation. I see redemption. I see the whole thing right out here. God bringing back his nature. I don't know, the pigeon. The last one of what, about 1914 or somewhere in that, when the last carrier pigeon died in Cincinnati Zoo? And there were billions of them black in the sky today. What happened? What are those rules that people hate and see them? God used for keeping the herds down so that, and watching nature just like the balance of nature. Man, he's got his own idea. The man brings in the wrong insect, name that things up. Brings in the wrong fish, that messes things up. Brings in the wrong cat, that messes things up. God put a board, he's had it all. Man messes up. He says, no, it's not being messed up any longer. It's going to be the same thing though. But it's going to be that life which is glorified. Sure it is. See? You should get used to each other. The greatest longing in my heart is to be just an absolute natural person with everybody. That there's nothing hidden, nothing but what's transparent. And if the Marines are any different than that, I wouldn't want to go by. Because the deep in my heart says that's what it's got to be. Well, then if I can't have an answer out there, well, then forget it. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be answered there. Probably prove it. Yeah, he had what wasn't to be. He was there. Saw his wife, saw his daughter, saw his second wife, saw the whole thing. Nobody's going to keep him out of here. So I know what's going to come because he said so. Now, don't forget the prophet also called this little book. Anytime, the book of eternal life. We're talking about redemption. But remember, what is redemption all about but eternal life? Otherwise, it is no redemption. Right? See? Now we're going back to the book again, see? Talking about the blood. What was it? A book of redemption. What else? A book of eternal life. It was our own life. The Lamb's Book of Life was open to it. Now, what is God redeeming back? He is redeeming back the life that he gave that was put in the tent. It's going to be the same life. People with 2 feet, 2 hands, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 mouth, 1 tongue, all the way down the line, eating, drinking, praising God. Now, that book is the book of eternal life. Now, who opened the book of life so we could see our names by faith in the blood and his pages? The bleeding, dying, yet living man. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 5. We go run to the field. Don't ever think we're not, because we are. We're right at the end time of time running, or it's all over, brother, sister. I don't care what anybody says. If this isn't it, forget it. We've all been fooled. Ain't nothing nowhere. I know. No, there's nowhere to go. Where are you going to go from here? You have something vindicated. You have God answer back to the pillar. Where are you going to go? Huh? Where are you going to go? You can't go anywhere else. Boy, listen, the hardest thing in all the world is to have a lot of money and then find yourself poor. You think I'm going to find myself rich in the Word of God and then go someplace else and die? That's nonsense. All right. The fifth verse of Revelation 5. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep not, behold the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath revealed." So open the book. And reach to see Israel. And I beheld, no, amidst the throne the four beasts, amidst the elders of the Lamb's head and flames, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth in all the earth. All seven church ages of redemption went over. Every one of us are going to see your part of Christ. Yes, sir. And the book, when the finality comes, and part of it is the resurrection, we're going to see each other. We're going to see each other right down here, we're going to see each other up there. Then we're going to see the whole thing put together. By that book. You've seen the book. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that had sat upon the throne. See? And when he taken that book, the four and twenty elders, the four beasts, and four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals of the thou wast slain, hast redeemed unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue to the nation." And that's exactly right. Now listen, you realize what that open book means? That we're going to be one of those of every kindred, tribe, and tongue in the nation worshiping around Jesus Christ. Meaning we haven't seen, we're soon going to see. That book open means resurrection. It means it's the hour of the resurrection. It means that Christ has accomplished. Oh, to me, the whole thing is open, and it's all there before me, and I'm a part of it by God's grace. I am not an onlooker. I'm a participant through Jesus Christ, knowing my redemption through the blood. And I can sing the same song, "Thou art worthy, for thou hast shed thy blood." I'm not going to come and say, "Hallelujah, I'm worthy because you gave me the Holy Ghost, and Lord, look at the lovely things you let me do." Oh, that's fine. You want to cast your crown at your feet. Sure, life is a great thing, I'm all for it. What are you hungering for but a closer walk and a closer life? More respectability in the things of Almighty God, more sobriety. But listen, brother, sister, that's your time. That didn't open the book and put your name there. Your name was already there. He showed what he was doing from eternity for you. Yes, my brother Moses. And I'll tell you one thing, if this doesn't make us better Christian, I don't know if it's going Oh, yes, there it is, the bleeding, dying, yet living Lamb. And he came to us in his post-resurrection form, the pillar of fire, and revealed himself, who is our Redeemer, in Revelation 10:1-7. And when the veil of tradition was rent in plain, and the mercy seat came into view, we saw, like Moses, the back of a man, and it was a bleeding back. Huh? Oh, people, I don't know if people want to see the bleeding back. They say, "Brother, they are that history. Praise God for the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Ah, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for the resurrection. Hallelujah." And those great big, you know, forget it. Please knock it off. Pardon my language. I do it on purpose. It gets through. It's soft. And that's what I want. I want your heart to stop something. If you take your comfortable heart, I mean what I'm saying. Just quit it, quit it, quit it. It's all good if you put it the right way. But if you don't see that blood, that one who died, and he alone worthy, we alone worthy, you and I still know have worth in ourselves whatsoever. Even when we have the Holy Spirit and work in, we still are unprofitable servants. We are, we're doing, not even doing our duty. It is Christ and Christ who died. And lo, that I might have what he purchased among them. Brother, sister, how are you going to cast your crown down if you have one, if you don't have that attitude? You're going to say, "Well, Lord, look at me." You know, brother, sister, there's a woman really in love with a man. There's something about her eyes that nobody can see. There's one thing used to make a friend of mine so mad. Now, my wife won't make mine telling this because we're not so lovey-dovey like she wants. We're maybe a whole lot more solid enough. I always thought I wanted lost and so. But you know, this fellow used to get so mad because he said, "You know, I don't know why she looks at him the way she does, and I wish my girl looked at me that way." You know, because she saw something. You know, hey, I'm not done. I think this is her trouble. She's, you know, she's got poor eyesight. That's her whole trouble. But you know, when it comes to you and me looking at Jesus, if we don't have eyes only for Him, by His voice, like the bride in the songs of song, brother, sister, we're just not brides here today. Yeah? We've got to start looking at ourselves and say, well, we're really fine mates. Oh, yeah, we're really fine mates. Oh, yeah. I tell you, He made a good catch. You better hear it. Oh, yeah. You know something? Pretty woman is just an unbelief. She's about the worst thing in the whole world. She's about the rottenest mess in the whole world. A beautiful woman is just, that's all she's got. I'm going to tell you something. The bride is beautiful, all glorious within. But she ain't nothing to look on the outside. And he looks down and says, oh, he said, you're so beautiful. And if he said, well, thank you. I am pretty nice, aren't I? Oh, dear. Huh? Won't work, though. It won't work. It's the bleeding lamb that was worthy. And everybody in heaven and in earth, under every consideration, every place, are going to scream, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. And it's not going to come like hallelujah, you're worthy. It's going to scream from their soul because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In the ecstasy of an agony that He died to Him and took my place, thou art worthy, worthy of that. Taken from sin, concerned by the reality of great sacrifice. Brother Banner said, in the Garden of Eden, sloth, 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 the blood trickling down those wet garments of a lamb that had been slain. The same thing with Jesus, the bloody footprints, the bloody nail prints, sloth, 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 look at Jesus. Oh, how beautiful my redemption, my redeemer, I love the Lord. You forget about yourself in a hurry. If I haven't got that, my brother, my sister, I'm still not worthy to come along with God. I've got to wait around a little while longer. But I want to be one of them. If I can't say what they're saying and see it all, see that very thing, thou hast made us. Then, brother, sister, I'm used to someone. Not look at my great organization, our great church, and look at us fine folks. Oh, God, I can't find anybody. I love fine people. Nothing breaks me up more than to be around fine people. I just keep myself all the morning. That's still not going to do it. Still not going to do it. No, sir, it can't do it. Listen, Christ our Passover in this age of Jubilee has appeared. He sure has. The great age of Jubilee, the catching away of the bride, the going up in the glory, He has appeared. He's got to appear. We've got to see Him as He is. He will not be changed. Now, listen, we see it as the blood grace that calls us out of Babylon to the marriage supper. That's all it was, blood grace that called us out. Not something we saw. No, sir, we were ordained to it. Sure. He has proved He is risen amongst us in order to prove that we are now perfectly redeemed by His death and sealed by His life and are kept by the power of God unto salvation. May this become a true revelation that Christ our life has appeared. We can appear to Him in glory. Yes, and we see ourselves placed in that word by the last day message. And now let's look at a few more scriptures. Romans 5, 6 to 11. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, the unpretty ones, the rotten ones, the filthy ones. For scarcely for righteous man will one die. Could be possible someone might die for somebody good. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die and say, don't let him die, I'll die instead. But God looked down at us filthy, rotten in the flesh. Sinners, that covers it, He died for it. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him, never come into condemnation, never go to the lake of fire, never feel any Christ. No, no, no. For if when your enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by His life. Abraham was called a friend of God. Reconciliation means we're now friends, just like Abraham. Yes, sir, not only so, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the reconciliation. Remember, God wasn't reconciled. We were reconciled. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. So I've gone and made my peace. Hallelujah. I'll go to God. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm reconciled. Oh, brother, sister, quit yelling. Quit yelling. Quit yelling. Learn your Bible. It's the blood that reconciles. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. Oh, brother, there. I'm such a guy. Oh, you are such a guy. If you knew the word. Which I knew the word. If you all believe it. Huh? You're not offended because you joined up anywhere. It's his blood you did. Huh? It's a little different story, isn't it? I'm not telling you a lie, I'm telling you the truth. It's his blood you did. It's not something that this is. Second Corinthians proves it out. This chapter, we all know these verses, 18 to 21. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation to this wise that God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Go and tell the story. Now we're ambassadors for Christ as old God, and did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ said be reconciled to God. Accept the blood of Jesus Christ. A-C-C-E-T-T. Accept that blood. By the blood you're no longer in. God's no longer mad. He no longer punish you. He no longer looks at you as though in your belly. He no longer sees you as a sinner. It's the blood. For he hath made him to be a sin sacrifice for us. He who knew no sin, I've been telling you all along, the perfect one, the Lamb of God, God himself in human flesh. He knew no sin, he's perfect, and he became a sin offering that took care of it. Yes, sir. That we might be made the righteousness of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everything the blood grants, brother, sister, is imputed to us and nailed down through the baptism. Yes, sir, right from sinners, right to saints, right to the New Jerusalem, all by the blood and the Holy Ghost seals you in. No wonder Brother Branham preached the token after he preached the many messages along this line concerning the breach of the blood of Jesus Christ, Christ our redemption, book of redemption, the whole thing, all down the line, explained it by history, showed every single thing that he was doing, and through his mercy and grace by the Holy Ghost built upon the blood, and then said, don't you miss it. Branham Tabernacle, a lot of you have the Holy Ghost, but a bunch of you don't. Don't you miss it. Let the Holy Spirit bear witness to the blood that you are under that which Christ died for and rose to see that you get it. Over here now in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, 10 to 14, and he said to me, seal not the things of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Brother, sister, just before the rapture, the book of Revelation has to be open. Every mystery, all the thunders, every seal, everything's open. It's all in plain view. Christ our redemption. And he is that word. Now listen, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. Yes, sir. There comes a time when the die is cast. It's all over. Those who are in, the rest are out. Foolish virgin, wise virgin. Yep. Sinner, saint, the whole thing. The bride and all the rest are left. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. To give their man according to his works to be on the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the first and the last. Blessed are they who wash their robes. How are you going to wash them? How are you going to have them washed, brother? Is it pure linen, righteousness of saints? How do you get it? By the blood. Recognizing who he is, our redemption. Sure, they may have the right to the tree of life. Right at this minute, there's a people living who in Adam were excluded from the tree of life. And God said, put a flaming sword there, put a cherubim. Don't let them get to that tree, lest they come and eat and live forever and live in that condition. But brother, sister, there's going to be people living in the flesh right now. As God is my judge, you know it. There's going to be people standing right here on this earth in the very condition that Adam and Eve were in. And by the grace of Almighty God, through the redemption Jesus Christ wrought and now brings into preeminence, they're going to walk to the tree of life and eat and never die. They're not going to miss one step, one breath, one eye wink, one anything. Just a sweep goes over them, and they go right into immortality. Brother, sister, that thus saith the Lord, and you know it. The prophet said so, the word of God, praise it out. You know it, you're living on it, but without her dog. Outside those gates, listen, she's called New Jerusalem right now. Yes, she is. Because that's where the tree of life is. You eat on that, brother, you're there. You're just waiting for the full manifestation. They're outside her dogs and sorcerers, who among her is idolaters. Whosoever loveth the naked of a lie. Now Jesus sent my name to testify all these in the church. That same one now winding up. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. The bright morning star. The spirit and the bride say, come, let hear it. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirst come. Now listen, if you're thirsting today before the millennium, if you're thirsting today for New Jerusalem, brother, sister, there's a fountain open in the house of David. Where sin and uncleanness are dealt with. There's a sacrifice for sin. Yes, there are. There's a sacrifice, there certainly is. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all unrighteousness. Then if you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, then you must be righteous. not just innocent. Now, you could be innocent under sanctification. Let me tell you one thing. You can go all the way through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and become His righteousness. See? Because remember, He lived to bring to pass what He died for. Sure. And He said, if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost can't come. But He said, I'm going to go away. You watch Him come. He died to see that you and I could be sealed in. Brother, sister, listen, that's absolutely true. Oh, why people don't look to God and receive the Holy Spirit based on solid faith of reality. Repent and be baptized, everyone here, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And right today we have seen Jesus Christ evidently crucified amongst the Bible said. In other words, the same signs and wonders that proved His resurrection that came by the prophet William Branham absolutely proved His death, that the blood stands. And you can repent today from all your sins based upon the perfect evidence, and God will give you the Holy Ghost because I believe in that one. That's all they did back there. And piling word upon word, growing up into Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. That's exactly it. Now listen, the prophet understood this. The prophet understood redemption by the blood. He knew the forgiveness that lay there. He knew the righteousness. He understood it. Remember back there in Colorado, the time the storm was stopped? Now, you remember how he stood there and the fawn came with the two deers? I think I told you, I'm sure I told you this before. I'm going to tell you again because it's not on a tape, all of it. I was with him in the New Yorker, in New York, when he told me about it. I could see something that happened to him. It was written all over his face. He said it was, and I could see something there, and he told me. He told me about how it was the fawn was there, and the doe was there, and the two little fawns, and he said, now beat it. Slapped his gun in him. He said, I could kill you. He said, your life is in my hands, but I made a promise to God. I vowed I just wouldn't shoot for anybody anymore. It would have to be a necessity, something real, genuine there before I did it. And the Lord spoke back and said, well, he said, if you kept your word, how much more do I keep mine? He said, leave from that moment on. This is what's not in tape. He said, leave from that moment. I have no consciousness of guilt. Now, brother, sister, let's face it. What was he saying? He said, I kept my word. That was fine. That's very good to keep your word. But that's not it. If I had kept mine. What was God's word? The seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. And Daniel 7 weeks shows that this, everything hinged on all history. All history. I said all, A-double-L, all history. Hinged on Jesus cut off, Messiah cut off, but not for Him. That you and I can be brought right back to where we were with God in the New Jerusalem in all the eternity. Jesus did it by the shed blood. And then He rose to see that He had it. And He gave us the Holy Ghost to prove it to us. And He'll lose none, but raise everyone up the last day. Oh, my brother, sister, listen. I don't know what could be more simple this day to give us rapture and faith, to have God manifest, come right from behind the creeds and dogmas, blazing across the sky, thundering and short, I'm your Redeemer. Look, I've done it all. And here it is, beloved. Come on home. You know, we've lived too long, brother, sister. We're the most secret age in all the world. The age of advertising and gimmicks and take it from you. They give it to you. Your government's as rotten as our government is. They give you money. And they take away your money. And then they give it to all of their friends. And then you get maybe $1 left out of your tent. And they send it back to the stack. And say, now, said Mr. Shooter, aren't I wonderful to give you $1 back? Hogwash. Mr. Ford does the same cruddy thing in America. And those legged, they take what we got and give us some little pittance. Aren't I wonderful? You know what? We have got to see on every hand, and we've got to see what's going on, and the rottenness going on, the duplicity that's going on, and the shenanigans, and the scheme, and the bunkle, and all that stuff right in the church until we've even forgotten to believe God. When He said, look, I've opened the sky, I've showed you, look, the book is open, a vindicated prophet, I've proved my resurrection, which proves my redemption is yours. Where do you come to the marriage supper? The Spirit and the Bride say come. I say come. Come. We say, what's the test? Now there's got to be a test. There has got to be a test. What does He want? What does He want? Now he couldn't simply mean this. I can come just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, oh, Lamb of God, no. I've got to have that. I've got to do that. I've got to know that. Huh?
not, isn't that right? That's the way the human heart acts, but it's all wrong. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It's a gift, brother. All the gift hands it takes is an open hand. Now, when we really see this, we're going to breathe easier. And we're going to relax under the seven seas. Huh? The prophet understood it. It was his succession in Colorado. We're looking forward to it. Now, a few more moments. We're going to go back to the book of Ephesians. Because I have to base everything on Ephesians, because Brother Branham paralleled it with Joshua. Brought it right down to our day. And the first chapter of Ephesians is the whole program of God laid out perfectly in one chapter. And from that time on, he relates it to experience in the other side. Still reading. Now listen. We're back here again to verse 15 to 23. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, even unto God, and to every redemption, I cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. We showed you how that came. The eyes of understanding human light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his inheritance in the saints. Now, his inheritance in the saints, brother, sister, is what it says it was. His inheritance is the saints. That's what he gets. He shall prolong his seed. He shall prolong his days. He shall see his seed. And it's a bride. See? It's a bride like that which came out of Adam was a woman, a bride. She was his daughter, yet she was his wife. So it is. We are the children of God, but we are his wife. Ephesians said so. Now, his inheritance is the bride. Now remember, because he died upon Calvary, he bought it all. And he left it in a will to us, so we get it all. Then he turns around and marries us, he gets it all back. And that's what we want. Because when we had it, we murdered it. We went into sin, we debauched it. So we're not going to trust ourselves anymore. Yes, sir. Every crown, everything that's going to be, and says, you are the one. He's laying upon it. We take the veil off of our shoulders. Right. That which signifies any authority we got, we put it back on him and say, no, Lord, we're happy just to have you. You just run it all. You're the head of the house. You see? So, that's the inheritance. See? The whole world in his hands. All of it. Everything fulfilled. He's got it all. But listen. Listen here. We are knowing we're a part of it. See, in this end time, we know we're a part of it. Now, listen, it's the big thing I'm looking at now. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now listen. The word hope in the Greek is reasonable expectation. That you may know that which accrues or is a part of the guarantee to you because of a certain calling. Now listen what the word crisis in the Greek is for calling. Used particularly of the divine call to partake of redemption. That you may know what you can expect from the divine call of his redemption. Now, we're going to know as no other age knew. Brother Branham said so. Now, let's face it. Paul the Apostle tells it. He said, I'm revealing to you the mysteries which were not known to the degree they're known today. But he had to seal up, and John had to seal up, and Daniel sealed up until William Branham came and opened. So we are going to know concerning our divine call to partake of his redemption. This word crisis always is used to denote the calling of that whose origin and nature is heavenly. We're going to know. We're going to know. Remember that which is heaven. In other words, this age is going to know where we came from and why and how we're going right back to it. No other age had it. Way back there it did. And it paused and so on. But now in this age, it's here and it's reverted already. It's gone into it. Because the stone made of hands, it started to fall, and it's going to take a sweep of it right into New Jerusalem. See? And then we're going to be back there where every tear is wiped away and there's no knowledge of the former. It's all gone. You understand the calling? Okay. We're going to go to Ephesians 4 and 1 and look at it again. Therefore, after the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. a calling. In other words, the heavenly divine call to be a partaker of that which has a heavenly origin, which is our redemption. Okay, that's good. Now, let's go all the way to Hebrews, and this is where you're really going to see the reality. At the end time. 2:1, and I could read several chapters, but I don't know we've got time. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly call, you who are partaking of redemption, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession to that call to his redemption. Now, I want to ask you a question. What high priest is he? Now, check it. Now, when did Brother Branham preach Mount Tabor? 1965 and April, right? And what did he say? He said, since the seals open all mysteries, and this is one of them, we will now talk about Mount Tabor. Then he demonstrated Mount Tabor by standing between the two auditoriums, and he deliberately turned his back on one. And he said, remember when Abraham talked to God, who was Melchizedek. See? And behind him was the tent in which was Sarah. And he called Sarah's name and told her this was the hour of the coming sun. And then he read her heart to truth. The high priest word ministry being fulfilled, that which the word ministry had indicated that he would come in flesh and perform, and now in the spirit he is carrying out. So, at the time that Brother Branham preached on Melchizedek, he was showing us what I'm showing you here, that this is the hour we know his calling of which we are a part, and he is the high priest too. See, I've been preaching this all along. Every scripture, brother, sister, if you're on the right track as far as I'm concerned, and the prophet said, once you see this message, that's all you see, and this is all I can see, and I can see Melchizedek right here. What has he done? He has proved that this is the hour of the Son, that the bride, not the church, produces him. See? Now, let's look at some scripture. Wherefore, holy brethren, notice you holy, partakers of the heavenly calling, that of divine origin, unto redemption, consider the apostle and high priest of your own faith, your own confession to it, and he's Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also was Moses, faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house has more honor than the house. Now Melchizedek must receive more honor than the bride. But the brides were rich, increased in goods, and don't lack a thing. And the groom says, you are wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't even know. He says, tut, tut, tut. You have missed something there. Because we're rich and increasing good, and we don't have to think. There never was a time like that. Oh, the charismatic movement, even the Pope is bound there. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how great said Mr. Pentecost. This is going to go to the Catholic Church and cause a worldwide revival. Hallelujah. And the Catholic Church is going to bring it back. Oh, no. Oh, said that guy. Oh, what a pity. And he said, anoint your eyes with eye crumbs, put a poultice on, because you're infected, the cold got in there. Oh, he said, I don't need glasses, just poultice, I'm just so beautiful. Huh? Well, come on. She's supposed to be the house, but she talks like she's God. She thinks she's God. You know, I just read this morning in the fourth year that Brother Bannon categorically stated that the whore and her daughters today are the incarnation of Satan. I never caught that before. That the churches are the incarnation of Satan. My God, that takes me from stem to stern. I preached pretty hard not year before showing you where the Antichrist came from. The people warned him, they raised him up, and I had not remembered him. That's tougher than I put it. And I thought I was putting an awful stuff in the head beginning to think. Every house is built by some man, but he could build all things with God. God building a bride. Moses was faithful as a servant for a testimony of those things which were put to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose wife we are, house we are,
If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope of the reality of the high priest mediating his own blood and his own life amongst the people. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you'll just hear his voice, don't harden your heart. As in the day of provocation, in the temptation wilderness, when your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years, they're doing it right now. How many years were these works shown by Brother Bannon? From 1946 to 1965. Just bang, crash, blaze across the sky, magazines, proven, hospital, king, president, monarch. I saw some of the letters, my brother and my sister. I saw King George's signature, the president of Finland. I know what I'm talking about. But somebody stole them all. I think I know who it was. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation said they do always are in their heart. They have not known my ways, or sworn my wrath, they shall end in my rest, and never make it. Say to you, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief, be kind and living God. There is one other deity who I call today. Go on. Right on down. And then, you can read that for yourself. But let's get in here for every high priest that taketh it in the verse, chapter 5, verse 1. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on ignorant on them? They're out of the way, for he himself also comes about in infirmity. Listen, don't you see the Melchizedek priest could prove how that Lucifer could be the messenger of the age and still be messed up as he was, to incite a rebellion that killed thousands, to want to exterminate the Jews? Oh, Lucifer couldn't be the one. Oh, no, I remember a fellow that said he loved Brother Branham. I guess he didn't say, you know, Brother Branham made a mistake. I laughed in his face, I understood he meant, because I thought the same thing one time. Oh, he said, Lucifer wasn't it. I think he said it was Huff or somebody. I said, Brother, you have thus said the Lord. Can you get to God for the answer? Now listen, would you have picked Lucifer? Let me tell you something. If you look at his life, you would say, but I've got his book. You get his writing. You get his writing. You get his preaching. Remember, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I believe he lived it. I believe Luther did his best. He kept his head. He kept the word. Wesley, as a theologian, he was horrible. His theologian was Fletcher. Young man with a voice like lungs of leather, bellow like a bull across the mile. He was locked up in his doctrine, too. Wesley carried his weight by the sheer force of his sincere preaching. Strict life, but a million miles off the word. It was okay for that day. He wouldn't qualify. I don't know anybody who qualified. See, but we got a high priest. Now then, high priest makes you love everybody. If he's my high priest and he's your high priest, then we can love each other. That's why the unlovely can be loved. And if people do us wrong, we can still love them. Because he got a high priest. Why? Now this high priest has got compassion because he's one of us, you see. Now, and no man takes this on himself, but he is called of God as was Aaron. But remember, he is not in the Levitical priesthood. So being not in the Levitical priesthood, my brother, my sister, he could not be Melchizedek until he rose from the dead. Now he's a high priest for everything in the conscience. So Christ also glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten him. Not in Mary's womb, but from the dead he was begotten. As he said in another place, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayer and supplication of strong crying, and sure him was able to save him death, and he was heard in that he feared, glory with son, he learned the deeds and things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Obey what? How are you going to obey him? Believe him. The obedience of faith, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Listen, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing your dull hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which are the first principles of the oracles of the God. You're going to let this lay all aside now. Those have all got to be laid aside. You're going to go to perfection. You're going to go right to the seventh seal, the seventh messenger, amongst the anointed that are true and the anointed ones, and the the true anointed one and the false anointed, where the razor blade is edge of the spirits are so close, it's a razor blade difference. Now listen, and it becomes such of meat of milk and not strong drink. Huh? But at the end time, Brother Branham said, this mystery, how to be understood, is now understood under the Sunday. Huh? I'm not trying to tell you, Billy Goods, I'm telling what the prophet said. He Melchizedek it again. Did you know that what was happening that night, the Melchizedek priesthood was being shown you in the open? And he is the high priest of our calling, which is heavenly redemption. That the redeemed were actually seeing the high priest of redemption in action from the dead. And was showing you that he was coming back for you. Calling you by name, Mr. Mitchell, you're behind me, you're from West Virginia. He said, you're dying of a lung condition. But it's over now. Huh? But the people were hard of hearing back there and they couldn't understand it. So this mystery had to wait for the last day. All the mystery. What's it doing during this rapture and peace? Look, brother, sister, we were there. It's on tape. He wasn't ministering a million miles down the road to somebody else, it was to us. See? How did you hear it? You people back there can't hear it. Can you show me one other place the Melchizedek priesthood is brought up? You can't do it. You got to go back to the Old Testament. What do you see there? Abraham after the war. Right? And Melchizedek comes and breaks the bread and the blood. And that's what been talked about in these messages here at the end time. Christ, a high priest for his own flesh and blood, it was given to you and me. Where we sit down at the end of the battle, it's all over. It's all over. The world's not going anywhere. There's no more history. This generation's running out. And this high priest has broken to us and showed us. Look, it's the blood. It's redemption. See what I've been doing all this time. The prophet William Abraham, like Moses reaching back in history, reached back in history, pulled out those seven messages just like that. Oh, brother, sister, every word testifies and shows the grace of God connected. No wonder Brother Van said only, I'll tell you, I'm telling you things that I know are true, and I'm only telling for one reason, because mechanical faith will one day become spiritual faith. I know that my head and my mouth is telling you right, and one day my heart is going to catch up. Uh-huh. Let me catch up. He didn't tell me this to just leave me hang high and down. He didn't tell me to tell you to let you hang high and down. The blood there in the presence of enemies, proving the enemy routed absolutely. See? And who's the key? Abraham. And we're the seed of Abraham. Then you see him just before Sodom and Gomorrah. What's he doing? I'm going to let my friend know that it's time for the sun. It's time for the destruction. The hour in which you are. And Melchizedek stood there and read the heart to prove to the people. Then sent the two messengers right down. Who are they? Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Don't tell me they're not the two messengers. Oral Roberts could not have Jerry Lewis and his program glorifying God with a man speaking so quickly. I'm not clean tongued, but my God in heaven has got to be a place you've got to stop coming. Calling it the gospel. Brother, sister, can't you see where you are? Huh? Did Abraham wring his hands and worry noise at all, Lord? He said, couldn't there be 100 righteous? Why, he said, look for 100 righteous. I'll just stop it, yeah. No problem. He got down to 10, and he quit. Wouldn't be surprised the last 10 are coming in, I don't know. That's up to God. But here Paul said, look, I'd like to tell you many things about this now, because it told you. But he said, it's not the time. You haven't got there yet. And now at the end time, the brilliant, grand, and prophet of God says, here is a great mystery. That's what Paul said. He said, it's under those fields. It's in those thunders. He said, I'm going to bring it up now, sir. And he showed it. Brother, sister, time has run out. You know that. Now he said, leaving the doctrine. Let's go on to perfection. Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. Separation time. Tears. Weep. Okay. And it's been proven to you. No wonder the prophet said, get your house in order. Throw out the television. Throw out the book. And you're broken. Better get your family ready to go, because he said this is the end of it. What's he saying? The priesthood is running out. The blood is running out. Election's running out. Redemption's running out. Yes, it is. On this earth, as we know it. We're getting ready for the higher call now. Resurrection, rapture, millennium, white throne judgment, manifested there as a bride, judging the world, going on from there, caught up, coming back in New Jerusalem, every tear wiped away, and all the glory is gone. Brother Sister, right here. All the mysteries are finished. You might not think so, but the prophet said they were, I'm telling you. Brother Bill, I want a little bit more. Just said before God, here, sir. You believe the message, read the Bible, here, sir. I never got this from the neighbors or even somebody else's sermon. Don't worry. Now, I told you, this is my message party from the family. If you disagree, you got some other ideas, God bless you, you can. You just don't try to tell me if you're right, man, wrong. Because I'm not going to tell you, I'm right, you're wrong. I don't care, man. These two little meetings we have here, I've let you know what I'm looking at. I let you know what I'm feeding on. This is mine, not yours. Because I get you wrong. If you believe this is man from the word, revealed word of God, then all you gotta do is think about it and see if it goes down here. If you get a check, you go to God and say, Lord, I understand it. You may sound pretty persuasive. You may go to the Bible, but something checked you. You let God talk to you. Tell you to go. I can't tell you. If your pastor believes otherwise, you listen to him. Because he's the one that interferes with you. I'm not. I'm just passing through every now and then. Today is the event. May never be another. I don't know. I open this book here. What I heard Brother Danny say, I see it on these pages. And I say, yes. The mystery did open up. He was that one who sold the entire seed of Bible from the serpent to the coffin formerly. And brother, sister, if those two mysteries alone are solved, get it now, serpent and the coffin formerly, then every other mystery is solved. Because anybody knows who God is, who Adam is, who Eve is, and all the beasts. But who is that serpent? What about his seed? If you know that, and the prophet in the former reign, then every other mystery will be solved, because he is the teacher of the re-sown word of God. Huh? Why did men come behind to listen to me when the prophet didn't say it? Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But we know in whom we have believed, because we saw him in action. And we are persuaded today that that which we have been of him is kept by the power of God. It'll never fail. For the sheep have heard the voice, and they follow him, and he will leave none of them. I believe that. I believe my redemption, brother, sister, is entirely apart from me. It is a gift of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing I can do is seriously, honestly, wholeheartedly, is give to him the life that he needs. And that solves the whole picture of it. But I'm so glad I see him too, that he's alive today, and redemption stands. I'm glad he opened that book. And by grace, by faith and his grace, I see my name out of eternal life, as you can be yours very out of this time. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we've been here another quite a while talking about things. But Lord, I believe it's been worthwhile, for I know that your Holy Spirit, because he is the great one, brought to us to teach us all things, even to know all truth and show us things to come, has come forth personified in human flesh, even as he was personified in angelic form to come down. Oh, even with pillar of fire, oh God, three things, pillar of fire, angel form, and prophet of God. Oh, what perfection we see in thee, God, all the way coming down now to show us Melchizedek, the high priest of our heavenly calling unto redemption, saying, I'm your high priest, you're my people. Ah, living, I'm here to let you know it's my son. This is the hour of coming over. This is the hour of Noah. This is the hour to come away. And I'm faithful to you, and I'll not leave one. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, what joy it is. What joy, Lord, I'm standing here today believing, oh God, that you're greater than my mind. You're greater than my body. You're greater than my spirit. You're greater than my soul. You are greater than I am any way, shape, or form. And you will have your way, Lord God, because you have said you would. Oh, our Father, I thank you today for the revelation. Depend upon it with these people, my God, for the prevailing strength against the gates of hell and against death. To put us, Lord, standing here as a spotless bride, breathless as those dead come out of the ground. Oh, what rejoicing, what resurrection faith, what rapturing faith, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. And I know it's real, Lord. I know it's real. And I know it's gone, and I thank you, Lord God. I know it's going on. And we praise you, Jesus. The book was open, and we saw him who was our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Oh, and written upon the palms of his hands, we saw our name. And we saw it was in the blood of the nail print. Oh, blessed Jesus, write that name upon our foreheads, we pray, O God. In our very minds and our very hearts, until it's Jesus, only Jesus, ever Jesus. Bless these people, Lord. Sanctify us, upon us with all sobriety, with all love, with all deference and respect one for another, until, oh God, we might happily come to that place where wives are sisters and husbands are brothers, Lord, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in respect and love as for one whom Christ died. Oh, God, not asking for a thing that the foolish men say, that the flesh is gone and all, but just the respect in the heart, so that love is all the richer, all the deeper, and everything needs something which is good and grand and glorious in Jesus Christ. Oh, my Lord and my God, Heavenly Father, in thee and redemption I see only the highest. I cannot see the low as though someone is coming by and taking that lowly place. I cannot see one without a crown. I cannot see one without a light. But I see in them the virtues which are in Christ. He designated to be ours, Lord. Why should they not come forth? But, oh God, above all, I see you, my Redeemer, my life. So, Father God, as we go our way, may it be separate unto you. May Christ, our life, appear to others, as it appears through these human vessels. Bless the passageway, Lord, the deacons also, Lord, the trustees, everyone here that names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bring thy sanctifying peace and grace, bring thy humble spirit, O God, to turn each cheek as if necessary, to turn the back of this night as necessary, Lord, to do anything whatsoever, no matter what calumny falls, no matter what abuse, no matter, Lord, what name calling yells, Lord, let it be with the sweetness of Jesus Christ resting and abiding upon this place. Let no man seek his glory and wealth ever to each other's Lord Jesus Christ. Let not one rise up, O God, and be somebody. Let you be the somebody. If there be a ministry, then, Lord, let it be the ministry proven with God. Heavenly Father, oh, to be like thee, oh, to have you blessed Redeemer, pure as out, Come nigh, fall us, come nigh, see that stamp down on his feet on our hearts. Let the work of the blood, O God, which has been completely consummated now and proven to be so now through the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, our great heresy, one called alongside, let it now be the redemption is manifested in a bride. Oh, I see it all, Heavenly Father. Yearn for it, Lord, and see the ends of the world and now come upon us as a people. And it won't be long. It just won't be long because it's all running out. And now under the King eternal and more than just the only wise God, we all count on it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. It's been good to be with you. I certainly agree that it's a little bit ridiculous to come to such a short time. But I don't know. There'll be a time shortly I'll be back. I don't know. I just can't say. But above all, I appreciate the thought that you want me. This is certainly a wonderful thing that you say and mean in your heart, and I certainly love you for it. I thank you for your generosity, for your interest, and your acceptance of me. I appreciate it very, very much. Think often of you, and I certainly do love you, my Lord. Find it easy to preach here. Enjoy being with you, and I will just believe this with all my heart that you're a real Christian, that you're a servant of God, and I believe that God's in you, working in and through you. And that as one and all, we're one together, members each other, fire and air, that one day we'll all meet in that heavenly land through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just believe that with all my heart, and I intend to take kindly affection toward you, as I know that you will be that way toward me. I believe with all my heart you've shown me more affection, gratitude, and love than I've shown you, and I appreciate it very, very much. I just say this, I'm certainly a fellow with a big capacity to get that kind of love. And like the fellow in Samson said, the way to have a happy marriage is one of the people must have a great capacity to love, and the other must have a great capacity to love. I have a great capacity to love, so thank you. The Lord bless you, I appreciate it. What little love I've got, get somewhere. I hope it kind of gets off on you. I want to give it to you. And so God bless you richly, and I'm looking to see you again on this side or the other side, each and every one. And that way, that time, I won't forget your face, won't remember your name. And I remember you in my mind, but I don't know which way my mind's going to go. You know, I just don't remember too well. But there's a picture in there, in my mind and my heart, even the new ones I met. And I say, God bless you, appreciate the brethren coming all the distance. I look at myself and I say, I don't know if they've got love or if they've been cool to come that far. Taking your time, taking long hours, you folks coming, hustling. Believe me, I appreciate it. Appreciate the fact that you're sitting in Saunders and all this time that I'm talking to you, maybe so fast you can't get it, showing the courtesy. I just appreciate it so much. All I can say is God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.